Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am very excited to bring you on a field trip. Right now, I am at the Sexploratorium in Philadelphia, and I am talking to the entire board of directors for the D.O. Bleak Ball. Hey, everybody!
Hey! Hey.
All right. So many things that we need to explain to people. All right. Anybody want to explain to me where we are right now, what this room is, what this building is, what's happening?
Well, we're in the Aphrodite Art Gallery on the third floor of Sexploratorium, where we have our sex ed classes and art gallery showings. And normally we actually meet in the very much less scenic basement of Passional Boutique, but there's more room here. So we decided to bring the whole board together to chat with you for the show about the ball. It's coming up in just a couple of days. We're down to the final finish line, going a little bit crazy. But it's definitely a great time to talk about all the exciting things that are coming in store for this Saturday.
So what is the ball? What is this? Why should people come to it? What is happening?
It's kind of a combination of, so we started the ball 16 years ago because there wasn't a big fetish ball in Philadelphia. I personally had been to a few in other parts of the world and other cities in the US and had a lot of fun at them. And I thought, wow, we should really be doing something like this here. I just was starting my fetishes boutique business that became Passional. Was really close friends with Delicious Corsets from Philadelphia. And I knew he would be game if we, and he's a total hyperactive person like me who's right here in this room, and I knew he'd be game to help me make it happen, and we made it happen with a bunch of help from friends, etc. that first time. And through the years, different people have kind of co-sponsored it, but in about 2003 or 2004 we started a nonprofit foundation to actually manage the money. It was a little bit of a mess. It was going through my business account, you know. And so now the Diablo 8 Ball has its own bank account, has its own board of directors, has its own mission statement, etc. So maybe it would be cool to, like, actually, there's a pretty cool group of people right here in the room with us. I'd love to, like, do a go around and just get let everybody do a sentence about who they are.
I would, in fact, love that as well.
My name is Brooklyn. I built and maintain the website and also coordinate the dungeon. And this year I'm also handling our celebrity guests.
I am Fraulein Von B. I have been an active member with Diabolik Ball since 2008, and I became a member of the board of directors in 2010, and I coordinate the volunteers for fashion police, the dressing room attendants, and so forth.
Hi, I am Cyanide. I'm the baby of the group, newest to the board. I've been attending the balls since probably about 2005, 2006. Started volunteering probably shortly after that. I am also part of Fashion Police, often referred to as Head Cop, since they have to get by my gauntlet. And I also oversee media relations and any kind of PR in connection with the board to try and get our name out, since it is ultimately for charity. And in these tough times, people really do need the help.
I'm Tanya C. I can't remember how long ago I started. Feels like I've been here forever. I've worked at Men for several years. I was the door girl for a couple of years. I've been the door girl for pretty much every goth event in the city. I joined on. I'm usually the VIP mistress now. We're just here for the charities. We're here to make money for those people who are doing great things for our communities. So y'all should come out just for that. And here's Sid.
Hi, I'm Sid Delicious, and I'm one of the founding members of the Diabolik Ball, along with Callie Morgan and many other tireless people. Fueled on caffeine and sugar, as always. And here's Gil.
Hi, in keeping with the theme of this year, I'm Jesus. When I'm not busy being a Jesus impersonator, I help run the Aviary in Philadelphia, which is a monthly fetish play party that is open to the public. And for Diabolik, I am on the board, and mostly I'm involved with bringing furniture for the dungeon and helping with stage crew and trying to assist everybody else as best as I can.
All right. And I'm Callie Morgan, and I am the owner of Fetishes Boutique, now known as Passional Boutique and Sexploratorium. And yeah, I mean, we started this ball with a little spark of an idea. We had a ton of community support the very first time we did it. We kind of decided in the summer to do it and said, hey, fetish ball coming at like the Pride Parade. And by the time November came, we had a really big club in on the deal with us, Egypt, which is no longer open on the waterfront. And then we moved to Shampoo through them. We've been at a couple other clubs, including Emerald City and Transit. So we move around. We're glad to be back at Shampoo this year. It's a really great space. It's got lots of little nooks and crannies. There's lots of moods. And really, because the Diabolique Ball is kind of part masquerade ball, you have to be dressed in fetish gear or costume to get in. It's part dance party. We have a really great lineup of DJs. It's part dungeon party, so you can bring a toy bag and bring your partner and find crosses and spanking benches that have restraints attached, and you can go ahead and play, or you can bring your toy bag. And it's part kind of kinky carnival. There's charity PlayStations. You can dabble in this, that, or the other thing. There's trained people at each of the stations, and you can make a donation to charity and try fire play or try spanking or try bondage or whatever it is that you would like to try. Additionally, there's all kinds of people working for tips. We've got dressing room attendants. Because there's a mandatory dress code, we do have a private dress area where guests can come in with a bag, get dressed. Our attendants will help lace them into corsets and put them on rubber clothes and get them shiny. All the tips that the attendants get go to charity. They can check their stuff at the coat check. Shampoo has professional coat checkers for us. We've got boot blacks who are working for charities, massage therapists who are working for charities, and we've got a killer lineup of fashion shows and entertainment headlining this year with Jean Bardot, latex goddess of Minneapolis.
Holy cats. So much stuff. All right. I want to go back to the fact that there is fashion police and that there is a dress code, because I'm very excited by this, because I'm going to show up in whatever scandalousness. And why would I get turned away? What would I possibly do?
Well, this event at its core is a dress, a masquerade, black tie. There are people who plan the year for their outfits for these events. People diligently working, sewing. They are theme-based. So generally, if you are fetish attire, so latex, leather, harnesses, things of that nature, corsetry, anything that falls under the category fetish gear is in. We also do permit, because it is a black tie event, tuxedos, ball gowns, formal attire, high formal attire. This is not your everyday suit and tie. This is something special.
Can I wear my wedding dress?
If you can get into it, we would love that. Also theme-based this year, because it's, you know, ecstasy and agony, a religious experience, any wardrobe of religion, and it's all religions, not just Christianity. It's Buddhism, it's Judaism, it's Hindu. I'm going as Shinto. So it's what you choose to those themes, and definitely step it up, because this is fun. For those that are maybe don't have the wardrobe or don't have the money to invest in something, you can show up in your underwear. How many parties do you have somebody at the door saying, yes, you can come in your underwear as long as your naughty bits are covered because of state liquor laws? Because we do comply, because this community tends to be a very law-abiding group. Now, the things that would get you flagged or mainly stopped by me would be every run-of-the-mill blue jeans, white sneakers, t-shirt. Now, if you had leather chaps on, a harness, you know, something not your everyday streetwear. Our website has a lovely list of details, and we also have an email that if you're not sure, you can contact us, because we would hate for someone to put effort in and get to the door. Also, at the event, we do have people that can help you. We have staff that can sell you items. We want people to be able to come in. We're not doing this to be mean. We're making it special.
Yeah, I would just like to add that you don't have to spend a ton of money on fetish wear or fancy costumes to get in. A little bit of creativity goes a long way. We've literally had people make outfits out of saran wrap and duct tape.
And body paint.
And body paints and makeup. I mean, a little bit of creativity goes a ton of a long way, and less is more. So you can absolutely romp around in your underwear and pasties if that's how you choose. The only real constraints we have are liquor law requirements that female nipples, which is ridiculous, but it's the state of Pennsylvania law, and all genitals be covered. So...
And you mentioned the theme. So it's what's the theme again? It's It's religiously inspired?
Yeah, it's Agony and Ecstasy, a religious experience.
Okay. What's the inspiration for that?
Basically, at least one of the reasons why I definitely was down for this is because, well, anything can be inspiration for us. A lot of it was political. Let's just be perfectly honest. Religion finds its way in many other things. Our politics, our military, our bedroom, my uterus. So therefore, with me, it's very tongue-in-cheek because, religion is everywhere. It's in our bedroom, so why not, play around with it and whatnot? And let's face it, there's a lot of religions that, if you read the Bible, there's a lot of kink in that, too, if you think about it. So at least that's one of the reasons why I was down with the theme, and there could be other inspirations and whatnot.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much tried to make sure that the theme was not sacrilege, too. I mean, we're celebrating sexuality and fantasy, and religion is part of that. A lot of us have a lot of religious iconography from children, from school. Some of our first sexual experiences happened in religious schools, etc. So, I mean, that was really kind of a playful, and we wanted to really include it. And that's part of the reason why we decided to, have Rev Bev come in to teach a class on Thursday night here at Sexploratorium. She's teaching a class on Christianity and kink, because we certainly don't. The members on this board, first of all, we're probably not the most orthodox religious people. Just look at us. But second of all, I don't think any of us see a conflict between, what we do for fantasy, how we raise funds for charity. We see that as a very spiritually high ground thing to do, and that this is really just a kind of playful thing of play acting, using these costumes and using these scenarios as themes to explore fantasy.
When we were originally discussing themes for next year, we had a few things come up. One of the things I recall that grabbed us, which led to this, was the idea of sacred sexuality. Somebody mentioned that in the meeting, and we kind of moved from there to the eventual religion theme. And one of the things that we do is, with each of the events before the event prior to it is run, we get a general idea of what we want to do for the following event, and then we refine it after the first event is done. So we've already got a general theme for the next Diabolique, and I believe we're still refining it to its exact final...
We'll announce it at Diabolique Ball.
Yeah, we will be announcing a theme. But until then, we can't say, but... We pretty much know right now what it's going to be.
I already have my costume idea.
As do I.
Several people have mentioned the charity facet of this. Where does the money go?
Well, the mission of the Diabolique Ball is to raise funds for organizations that provide vital services to Philadelphia's diverse communities. And in the 16 years that we've been doing this, we've raised some $150,000 or so for a bunch of charities. The criteria we use are, do they provide local vital services? Are they providing food, housing, education, shelter, health care to people in the city of Philadelphia? And so we really have tried to keep it local to that in that regard. Initially, we did ActionAids at a whole bunch of AIDS charities. Virtually every AIDS charity in the city has gotten some Diabolique money at one time or another. We've done a bunch of women's charities, including Women Organized Against Rape and Women Against Abuse, Planned Parenthood. This year's charities are One Step Away Newspaper, which is a newspaper for homeless people. It's by and for and about homeless people, and so they publish this newspaper and sell it for money, and the Greater Philadelphia Search and Rescue.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I have additional. When I run the dungeon, our charity PlayStations, I expand a little bit and do a few more charities. So I have charity PlayStations this year that will benefit, I think I have GLAE, the Gay and Lesbian Latino AIDS Education Initiative, longest acronym ever, but I love the organization.
And they were a beneficiary last year.
Yeah. Maybe the Mazzoni Center. I haven't confirmed either of those two yet, for sure, but it's looking pretty good. A Hurricane Sandy charity to benefit people affected by the recent... recent state of emergency, and I have one other one that I can't remember right now, but it's a good one. Oh, the Carter Johnson Leather Library is my other one, and the Carter Johnson Leather Library is a traveling collection of books, magazines, newspapers, and other media from hundreds of years ago up until recent, that chronicle the history of LGBT people and people in the S&M and leather lifestyle. And it's housed here in Philadelphia by Mama Vi, who's the mother and grandmother of current leather folk. So it's a pretty great organization.
Right on. So I'm totally inspired now. I'm going to go because I want to give money to these charities. What can I expect to happen here? You listed off some of the things, but I just, like, walk me through. I've walked through the door. What is going to happen to me now?
Yeah, you're going to go to the dungeon. Well, do you want to do the door first?
Yeah, I think
okay.
You should start from the beginning. Begin at the beginning. All right, I will do a little role play, which we should all be familiar with here.
Generally, you will first walk through the door. We'll assume you're in your street clothes because it is fall. It's a little chilly, and usually good kinky fetish gear is not well designed for fall climates. So you'll walk in the door. You'll be greeted by the friendly shampoo staff. They'll check to make sure everyone's safe and sound, and then you'll see me or one of my volunteers. They'll ask, you know, do you have your attire with you? And then you'll go down the stairs to the dressing room, and you'll be greeted by a lovely dressing attendant that will assist you and probably lace you into your corset, which I still to this day cannot do by myself. So many a friend has helped me, so I am many a thanks to all of them. And you'll walk out. You'll see ticket people, such as with Tanya Group, you know, check your ticket. You'll be dressed by the attendants, and then you can check your bags with the shampoo staff at the coat check. You'll take your ticket, and then you'll again see the fashion police. They'll give you once over, or sometimes, you know, if people are nervous about their outfit, they'll approach us and ask. And usually, you know, everyone is fine and we'll compliment you usually with a little wink and be like, ooh, glad to see you in that. And most people don't complain when I ask them to drop their pants. And then they walk in and they can see all, you know, they enter into the dungeon area, which I think I'm going to pass off because the madam of the dungeon definitely knows it better.
Madam, oh, master,
sorry.
You know.
I see Casey
here. Yeah, you know, it happens.
Sorry.
That's all right. I am the madam of the dungeon. It's all good. Sometimes I'm also the master of the dungeon. Yeah. You know, I can't seem to figure out this gender thing.
I apologize.
Nah, it's all right.
The supervisor.
Well, we're actually calling the dungeon the ossuary this year, so it's more of a undercroft. So I'm going to be dressed as Santa Muerte. So think of it as like the underworld a little bit. But the dungeon is a little bit of everything. We're going to have dungeon performers hourly throughout the entire evening. We have Murphy Blue coming from New York. He's actually well known for his multi-person suspensions. He has a record 12-person suspension that he did at Floating World this year. This year he's going to attempt it for Diabolique, a 3-person suspension, which I'm sure will go off without a hitch.
Can you?
Yes, I can. We're doing rope suspension, not hook suspension. So rope suspension is basically using rope ties, specifically in the Japanese shibari style, to hang somebody from limbs and other like weight-bearing parts of their body, like their hips or their chest, from a stable frame. And you just kind of like float there. It feels like kind of swimming. It's a really cool experience. And it's really neat to watch, too, because there's a lot of artistry to it. So he's going to be doing that. I have a fire performer who's going to do a scene. I have two really hot guys, one of whom is going to get the crap beaten out of him, which is always something I want to see. That was a big happiness there. And then I have a naughty Catholic schoolgirl theme corporal number that's gonna go off too. So you can come down to the dungeon every hour and see these performances. You're welcome to tip in the collection plate for the performances, and all the tips, you know, all go to charity. So if you like what you see, put your money in the tin, tithe, if you will. We also have an open play space that's going to have crosses and spanking benches, and I have heard that I will potentially get a cage, so that will be fun. Yeah, well, no, we're not having a lockdown this year, but we will have a cage, so somebody is getting locked down. Hey, right, volunteers. I also have charity PlayStations throughout the entire dungeon area. So there's going to be a spanking station. So for $5, you can get a 5-minute spanking from somebody who's actually one of the heaviest hands in the city, the Stern Hand. But he actually plays to the player's level, which is great because I'm kind of a wuss. And he had to quadruple the donation 2 years ago to get me on the bench, but he didn't kill me. And it felt really nice, and he played to my level, which was great. I have a charity fire performer. Or a charity fire player. So for $10 for 10 minutes, you can experience fire play. it can be very soothing and very like sensual and very like a hot stone massage. Yeah, some people call it fire massage.
I was first nervous about fire, and after doing it, it was one of the most relaxing experiences. So, and don't, if you're nervous, definitely talk to them, because knowing what they were doing was very helpful. So don't.
Yeah, and the guy's got like over a decade of experience with it. Like he's really good. It is a very daunting thing for newbies at first, but it's a pretty cool experience. I'll have a violet wand station. Violet wands are a electrical toy that emits static electricity. That provides a really cool zappy sensation. So I'll have a lady that's going to be running a station there. I'll have a wax play station. So if you ever wanted to try having hot candle wax dripped on you, you can do that. I'll even have a staple station. So I'll have somebody that does medical staples for $1 a staple, and you get free ribbons. So if you wanted to do like a really pretty staple corset, you could totally do that. And she'll take them out at the end of the night and all of that. So there's all of these different things to see and do. And if you don't want to play, you don't have to. If you want to watch, you can totally do that. That's totally fine to do.
That's one of the best things about Diabolique, is because it's not just for old guard people to come and chat. This is also very good for introductory, because we've had, let's face it, we've had books come out where suddenly kink is now coming into the mainstream. You know what I'm talking about. Oh,
should we not say
yeah.
We're, shall not be named.
Yes, it is the it is the trilogy that shall not be named. However, I've now come to terms with the fact that a lot of people have been coming up to me and asking me about the event. And what's really wonderful is that while we have what I call veterans doing what they do when they play, this is also great for not just exhibitionists, but for voyeurs, where they can come and they can learn and they can see firsthand of what's going on. And that's when they're persuaded, if they allow us to persuade them, to actually try it out. So it's a great place to learn the tricks of the trade. So
well,
that's
a really
benefit.
Thing about the dungeon too is that you know, we have trained monitors and EMTs on hand, so that if for some reason something goes wrong, if there's some like trouble, someone's disagreeing, someone's not taking no for an answer, we've got easily identifiable monitors who are on the floor who can intervene, help you find a date. Really, if you're trying to find a date and you're single, ask one of the monitors and they'll find out what you're into, because they know a whole lot of people. And then EMTs, should there be any medical emergencies, for our own staff.
Yeah, and all my EMTs are always nurses, doctors,
certified
paramedics, all different kinds of people. So that safety is there. The other great thing is that, like, I mean, granted, I've been in the lifestyle for 10 years. There's not a whole lot that shocks me anymore. So I might be a little biased in saying this, but the dungeon is really not as scary as I think people think it's going to be.
That's too bad.
Well, I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's not the red room or anything, but like it's going to be pretty basic scenes. It's, you know, like really cool bondage to look at, really cool spanking scenes to look at, but it's not going to be this like flaying people alive, scary stuff that I think people who are new to the lifestyle think it's going to be.
Much
I mean,
sexier.
That's for, you know, that's for later.
I mean,
that's for when you get home. You can totally, yeah. The fantasy is definitely there, but I have had a lot of people who have never been to this event come up to me and be like, oh, that's too much for me. That's too intense for me. And it's like, actually, you know, the dungeon is pretty mild by some people's definition. And then also, if you get uncomfortable or you get freaked out, you can go upstairs and you can dance if you want to, which brings us to the next part, I guess.
DJs.
Yeah, in KS, I mean, it's a great, fun, voyeuristic experience. I've had so much fun there performing, as well as just watching what goes on down the dungeon. But after a time, you get sated. You can go upstairs, you can dance for a bit. We've got a great lineup of DJs this year. We have Mighty Mike Saga, DJ Black Widow, Chaz Paris, Rich Mad Dog Russo, Doppelganger, Dave Ghoul. They're all playing in different spots in the area or in the space. We've also got some really amazing stage shows scheduled this year. Passionelle Boutique, Delicious Boutique, and Corsetterie. Sorry, I failed on that one. As well as Renee Masumian's line. I'm not sure if she's doing either Baby Love, she may do stuff from Soliloquy as well. Each of those specific designers will be doing their own fashion shows. on our main stage. We also have Cherry's Jubilee in from Chicago doing some really awesome stuff. And we also have internationally known latex goddess Jean Bardot performing for us as well as acting as an MC.
People are having shivers in this room. Yeah. I just want to let you know that.
She is fantastic. Look up Montreal Fetish Weekend last year and see what she walked for Westward Bound, and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. She is fantastic.
She was Miss Rubber World 2009. She has been in hundreds of fetish videos. She's been a professional dominatrix for a lot of years. She models for huge latex companies like Polymorph and other like more haute couture designers. And she's drop dead gorgeous, super duper nice, unless she's, you know, being the mistress. But she's really great. We're really looking forward to having her. We're really excited to have her with us.
VIP.
Oh.
VIP lounge. Talk about our VIP lounge.
And if that wasn't enough, all right.
Now it's on.
Yeah, now it's really on.
We're not playing anymore.
So we do cater to the elite. And if you're going to be elite at Diabolique, you need to definitely sign on for the VIP lounge. And we have VIP tickets available, which give you an open bar for the entire evening, as well as a delicious buffet that's catered by Full Plate Cafe. The opportunity to mingle with those people who you really want to be seen with. Let's face it, you don't want to.
Drinking with.
Yeah.
And you have your own space supply as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. There will be a private VIP play space available as well. And great little area in the back to separate yourself from the rest of the crowd, and a great vantage point for the onstage performances. And not to be missed.
Yes, servers in the VIP with appropriate aprons and attire.
Make you feel special, since that is special.
And then our other lounge is kind of our chill out area. So there's more fun things to have done or do for charity. There's massage therapists and foot massagers and cuddlers and other people performing more kind of
sensual.
Comfort and sensual services.
A cuddler?
For charity. Boot blacks. We got boot blacks.
Tell me about the cuddler.
Foot worshippers.
Cuddler?
I think. I'm not sure if the cuddler's confirmed, but I do believe we have a cuddle minister.
We definitely have a foot massage station, and he's actually bringing this really sexy shoe-shaped chair.
Cool.
Which is going to be super fun.
Nice.
He's a big foot fetishist, so it's going to be a really, really cool station. We're also going to boot blacks. If you've never experienced boot blacking, that's totally
that
a thing
is
you should
awesome.
Do.
It's
a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Oh, it totally is. So boot blacking is the old leather practice of leather care, particularly of boots. So if you have leather boots that need a little bit of a polish or need a little bit of love, or your feet hurt and you kind of want a foot rub through your boots, which is the thing that you get. It's just a really nice experience. My partner actually just had his boots done for the very first time, and he actually totally zoned out in the chair. Like it's
a
really
orgasmic.
Yeah, it can be totally bootgasmic if you will.
Yeah.
And we do have like massage therapists coming with chairs to do chair massage and stuff. So,
yeah.
Like, what
and
a perfect job.
Of the attire, many of the women show up in probably the highest heels they've worn all year, and nothing is better than getting a foot massage after that. And for
right.
person
yes.
giving the massage and the person in those heels, it's definitely the best.
Again from the beginning.
Oh. Basically, you know, since everyone is dressed to the nines and they're probably wearing the best high heels, because we know high heels is definitely a fetish for some, myself included. At the end of the night or throughout the night, your feet start to hurt. So there is nothing better than getting a massage. And please, the masseuse does enjoy it as much as the receiver. So that is definitely for charity
and
as well.
All tips go to charity.
Yes. So I think that's
a
win-win
situation.
Oh, everybody's so happy. What a great day to be a foot fetishist. That's so delightful.
Yeah, I know.
What a great day to be an anything fetishist.
It's not great to be a foot fetishist. Uggs. That was the day.
Somebody somewhere fetishizes Uggs.
All right, so let's say that I'm super stoked about this and I'm packing my bag to bring it. Can I bring my camera?
No.
Yeah, we have a very, very, very strict policy when it comes to cameras. We have people that have signed on that will get your permission before they take photos as event photographers. And we also have a portrait photographer who will be positioned downstairs. But on your own, no. There are people who come in who crave anonymity, who want and who need it just professionally. So we do not let anyone just walk willy-nilly with a camera. We will have people there to sticker cell phones, and if you are caught taking photos, your phone will be confiscated. No photos unless it has been cleared with us. Simply
privacy
because.
Privacy is key. Like, we value the privacy of every guest.
We actually kind of expanded our photo policy this year a little bit.
Not to get too into it, however, there was a fetish party that actually was written about in a Philadelphia newspaper, and photos were published. And even though no one was doing anything unorthodox, however, many people were very concerned because their photos were in the paper. So what we're doing is we are adding a little bit more to our security team. They're known as the photo police. And soon after you purchase or you hand in your ticket and your past cyanide's gauntlet, as it were, you are going to be approached by my photo police, who will just remind you that we do have event photographers taking pictures throughout the night, and they will not only approach you to ask if you would like to have your photos, but because, you know, the lights can be dim or the music is too loud, we are now offering red wristbands as an extra to show for people who wish to decline photos, so therefore extra security for our patrons, because we want them to have a good time without feeling that
their privacy
has been compromised in any way, shape, or form.
One of the important things also to know about the photo policy, so you have the red wristband, which is a blanket no consent to photos. We're calling it like a photo safe word. So if you have the wristband, they're not allowed to take any photos of you. However, if you do consent to photography, it comes with the understanding, and we're going to have a big thing right by the door. If you consent to photography, it comes with the understanding that those photos might be used for promotions. They might be used on our website. They could even potentially end up on Facebook, maybe, but we're pretty judicious about that. But they might end up on our website. And if you aren't comfortable with having those pictures ending up on our website, you can wear a mask. You can get a red wristband.
Or you can say no if an event photographer.
Or you can say no. Yeah, you can totally feel free to say no. The portrait photographer will take photos that are only available to you. You're the only one that gets them. They do cost. But if you want a memorial of the evening, you can go to Mike Lynch and get your photos taken by him. And you're the only one that has those. But if you consent.
And he again donates money to charity. So.
Yeah. But if you consent to photography, they are being used by the Diabolique Foundation for promotion for next year's ball, which means that you're actually, like, your hotness is contributing to us raising money next year.
And there are some hot people that show up. I mean, hot.
I mean, some of the outfits, and as we said, creativity, truly there are some outfits where you just stop and you have to look. And then people definitely go out. And if you do put that much time and thought and effort into your outfit, you should definitely get a portrait, whether you want to keep it for your own spank-worthy worth, but definitely, you know, there are some beautiful people that come out for this event, not just because it's charity, but truly to come out and enjoy.
Anybody want to regale us with tales of their favorite outfits that they've seen people wear, that they've worn, like
the military?
For the military ball, I just loved looking down from the VIP lounge and just seeing this group of, I can't remember which leather company or what, but group of gay men, shirts off, all built, berets, camos, and boots, just marching along.
There's a group of them. They were hot. That made me very happy to watch.
That was the Keystone Boys of Leather.
They were hot, and I'm very happy to sit down and watch.
Growing up in a military family, one of my favorite outfits from last year was not necessarily Army, Navy, or anything, but somebody dressed up as Cobra from G.I. Joe and was shouting.
I think we've,
and was shouting Cobra throughout the entire thing. And I just started laughing so hard that I started to cry because I thought, oh, this is so great because he was Cobra from G.I. Joe. And I didn't even think somebody would actually do that, and someone actually answered my prayers.
I had someone dress as Apollo with an inflatable penis one year. Oh. It got us in trouble a little bit with the club that year.
Yeah, even though it wasn't really
even though it wasn't a real penis, it caused some controversy with the club. Yeah, we've had some really
I know my
crazy,
favorite
like,
outfit.
People wear a bubble wrap ball gown. We had people wearing like hats made out of Barbie dolls.
I think my favorite outfit has been Sid's bunny suit. So Sid has this fantastic like military, it's almost like a flight suit, but it's got like bunny ears on it. And there's actually a photo of it on the front page of our website. I don't know if you knew that. And there's one on the board page too, right next to your bio. But Sid's bunny suit is by far my favorite thing.
I don't know. It's something about from years past before I even started the foundation, or before I joined the foundation. The Asian one that you guys did.
Oh, yeah.
The guy dressed as Buddha.
Yeah.
Was like in a little loincloth, painted gold. Walking around.
Yeah. Hey, maybe he'll come back as Buddha. That would be a keeping with this.
It would work, yeah.
I have two. I remember when I was still modeling for one of the fashion shows. I was dressed in, I think the nickname of the outfit was the Black Widow. And it was just this vinyl dress. And like, I remember everyone was having the hardest time finding someone to put it in. And I walked in, and that's how I got strapped into being a model, because I was the only person that got into it. Had this like, it was like vinyl all the way down, corset. I had this like bustle. It was, yeah. And then I think the outfit itself, appearance-wise, and the picture of me in the outfits on the website. But I personally enjoyed our latex one, just because I was wearing this wonderful vinyl skirt with nothing underneath, and I just had everyone licking me through the skirt, like just feeling everyone touching me through that layer, that barrier. It was kind of fun. Well, you know, if you're getting lubed up in vinyl and latex, it's kind of a sensual experience. So, hence, another encouragement to wear latex.
Wear latex to get licked. Woo!
Somebody make me a Jesus outfit
out of latex. So, we're also going to have a lot of, like, celebrities there. And in addition to all these, like, super beautiful people, we're going to have a ton of celebrity guests, which is, like, super kind beautiful. Of been consuming my time lately. But I'm really excited to bring the people I've brought. We're going to have the goddess Destiny Kane and the ladies and the gentlemen of the chambers. It's one of the best, the only house of domination in Philadelphia. We're going to have celebrities coming from D.C. We're going to have somebody coming from New York, or a couple people coming from New York. We have somebody coming all the way from Denver. Love and Latex is a latex personality out of Denver. And he's coming all the way from Denver. And he's been at like Montreal Fetish Weekend and all this other stuff. We're going to have the Liberty City Kings. We're going to have Mr. Philadelphia Drag King 2012 Rough Rider. I'm working on getting some of the queens out. So if any of the queens listen to this show, Isis. Yeah, we really want to get some of the queens out. So I'm working on that too. So we're going to have just like the star-studded leather title holders. Northeast Master and Slave 2012 will be there. So if you've ever wanted to meet a leather title holder, you can.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're a really cool couple too. Those two people, they're really great. So lots of celebs.
I'm sold. Yeah. Totally sold.
And you'll see that most people in this community, you know, what Hollywood shows of us.
You'll see coming to this event, you know, the Hollywood portrayal or the novel fiction, and I will call that a fiction. I'm sorry. That's even calling that anything of a novel is disgrace. But you'll see that's often we're portrayed as like some villains or evil, but we're generally good people who just like unique, fun ways of getting off and having a good time and being joyful. You will hear giggles intermingled with moans. You will see people helping each other. It's like, hey, you need a hand with that, especially if you've seen me teeter around in my crazy heels. I definitely have a helping hand down the stairs so I don't take a header. But you'll notice, like, we're not scary, evil villains or something like that. Ask us questions. We will be more than happy. If you ask me to be mean, I would love to be. But if you want to have questions, if you generally are watching someone and you want to see or have someone explain to you the scene, step off to the side and somebody will probably be more than happy to share.
But on the same tip, like, we do have that we do have some of the Hollywood fantasy. Like, it isn't like what they show in movies. Yeah. Because like the personalities are different. People do have boundaries in the fetish community. People do have like manners, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not this kind of free for all or like this negative perversion thing. Like, it's a bunch of really good people that want to raise money. But on the other tip, it is kind of what you see in the movies. Beautiful people in beautiful clothing. It's a fantasy atmosphere. It's one of those things where like people will walk in and be like, I totally had a sexy dream that was just like this. This is weird. I saw this in a porno. It's like that at the same time. So it's kind of like fantasy made flesh, but with real people who like really care about each other.
So out of curiosity, just because I think this is a great group to ask, in mainstream depictions of like kink and S&M and like anything lifestyle, like what do you think are the most realistic depictions that aren't straight out of documentaries?
No. Oh dear.
Sound of Music.
Not the book that we shall not
make. Yeah.
All right. Let's just not dwell on that.
Yeah.
And we still have a board meeting to go to. I was just going to remind everybody here that we still have a lot of important board business to conduct before the end.
Yeah.
So let's wrap this.
While I would clarify that this is a historical fantasy series, the original Cushiel trilogy by Jacqueline Carré actually, I think, portrays the scene much better than most. It emphasizes the importance of safe words, the importance of boundaries, still in a story that's really awesome and really hot and very well written, very well researched. Anyone who gets medieval Hebrew right also gets my personal love.
I also want to second that because
the character has a lot of submissive traits, and oftentimes those are seen as somehow lesser, diminutive, but she's a very strong character, and a lot of people can make such assumptions. And you'll often, and I do second that fictional series handles it very well. Trying to think.
I think we need a little bit more accessible reference.
Yeah.
I would say in some ways, not in all ways, but in some ways, Secretary is actually pretty positive about the lifestyle. And I don't mean in all ways because like she is, unfortunately, the character is still portrayed as this like mentally ill, self-harm person, which like there is no statistical correlation between a history of abuse or mental illness or self-harm and BDSM. That part isn't quite accurate. The part that's great though is that at the end they fall in love and he loves her and he takes care of her and she loves him and it's positive and it's consensual and everybody's having a good time. And that's really what it's about.
That is what it's about. I do feel like that's almost a separate radio show in itself. I mean, we could all, anyone in this room would be a great interviewee on the topic of, you know, popular culture and BDSM. But the purpose of this tonight is to remind people to get out to Diablo League Ball Saturday, November 17th at Shampoo Nightclub and to check out the website at DiaboliqueBallPhilly.com.
It's actually DiaboliqueFhilly.com.
I'm sorry, Diabolique Philly. All right, let me go back. Come to Diablo League Ball, Agony and Ecstasy, a religious experience, this Saturday night, November 17th. And check out all of the details and information at DiaboliquePhilly.com. That's DiaboliquePhilly.com. And make sure that you get there. And if you're really feeling frisky, get yourself a VIP ticket and party with us all night long.
It's going to be awesome.
Come out and be bad for a good cause.
Jesus says you should come to Diabolique.
And come to brunch next time.
Yes.
How many parties can you actually have a reason to run around in your underwear?
Well, you can't run around in your underwear at the brunch.
Well, not
sorry. Sorry, sorry.
We're upstairs. They're kind of letting us go.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
All right, well, for that, again, thank you, everybody, from the board of directors for the Diabolique Ball. Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And you heard all that information. We will also link to everything. So if I don't see you there, better see you next year because it'll be almost, it'll be barely legal.
We'll just wait
until
you hear the theme next year.
Oh,
you got to stay tuned to midnight.
When it turns 18.
We're not telling you. You have to be at the ball to know what next year's is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gotta be at the ball for that.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmere@gmail.com. And thank you.